This program is brought to you by BibleWayMedia.org, overseen by the Ooligah Church of Christ in Ooligah, Oklahoma. Hello, we do want to welcome you back to the Uncensored Dads, the Uncensored Word podcast with Brother Matt Olson and myself, Russ Earl. We've been looking at the series, When God Seems Far Away. And last time we looked at we've been looking at some spiritual deeps, as we mentioned before. And last time we began to look at denominationalism. We talked about how many teach their church as being a branch of Christ. We talked about that from 1 Corinthians 12:27. We also discussed briefly some denominationalism and the false teachings that have pulled many off the pathway of eternal life, as we saw there in Matthew 7:13-14. And you probably hear my cat Ron, of course, trying to get in on a podcast, and he'll be posting that later. But what we're looking at today, this next point, as we think about this spiritual deep of denominationalism, is how do we escape it? And in order to escape any false teaching, we have to first recognize that what we've been listening to, what we've been following along to, is indeed false. That is, it's not in agreement with God's word. When we say false, we have to realize it's not that it's false because someone else disagrees with it. It's false because the Bible contradicts it. And the Bible contradicts your belief. That means you are not following the Bible. If you look at John 15 and verse 10, here Christ says, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." And so we look here in verse 10 of John 15, we find here this idea that if we're going to abide in love of Christ, that is, if we're going to be approved of by God and approved of by Christ and enjoy that love that we have from him, we have to abide, that is, we have to be in, we have to be those who follow his word. And so he says, if you keep, and there's that condition there, that word if. And so if we do these things, then we will abide in his love. He says, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. And so he gives that illustration that because he has kept the commandments from God, the Father, he abides in his love. But today we have to realize that this applies to us today as well. If we're going to say that we are a Christian, we better be following the commands of God. Because when Christ came to earth and he taught and he preached the word of God. He tells us in the gospel accounts that his doctrine is not his own, but of his who sent me, which is a reference to God the Father. And so if we're going to say we are a Christian or a follower of Christ, we have to follow his commands. That is, of course, the commands of God. And so the first way to come out of this of denominationalism and come out of this deep of false teaching and this deep of denominationalism in itself, we have to recognize that we have to follow God's word. And when traditions and bylaws and creed books and things such as that go against God's word, we need to abandon those things. And we have to also realize, I'm going to make this one last point, then I'll be quiet, but we have to realize that when we hear people say they follow the Bible and then they have creed books, to me that really spurs a couple of questions. One is, does your creed book say less than the Word of God? Well, if it does, then it doesn't say enough, right? And if it says more than the Word of God, then it says far too much. And if it says the same thing, then it's not needed. And so that's where we come back to, right? People say, well, we follow the Bible, but do you have creed books and bylaws? Well, some of them will know that. When I was a kid, when I was a member of a denomination for the longest time, I had no idea the congregation where I was attending, that denomination, had bylaws. Never heard of it. Didn't know anything about it. They were never talked about publicly until one time. They're actually, interesting enough, when it came near to me leaving that denomination, I found a stack of papers stapled together, several copies of it, and it was the bylaws of the church. Never heard of that, never knew that existed. Friends, those things are the teachings of that particular denomination. And when they are in difference with the Word of God, which is why they're there, which is why they're stapled together, because they're different from what the Bible says, we need to abandon those things. So we have to first acknowledge that, yes, what we've been following is not the Word of God. So I'm going to pause here for just a moment and let Brother Matt add anything he'd like as we continue looking at this idea of escaping out of this false teaching of denominationalism.
Yeah, what you said was, adding or taking away. Like, is the creed book adding or taking away? Revelations 22:18-19 says, "For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the book the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life. So aren't those creed books adding more than what needs to be done or taking away? I mean, basically, that's what it's doing. But the thing that we need to do is mainly is, like you said, hear the false teaching and then go and study that. Study what these people are saying and find out, hold it up to the Bible. The Bible is a true word of God, and that tells us the standards we need to live in. So if somebody's preaching a false doctrine, then we have no idea. Like, I grew up in the Lutheran church, and I got sprinkled as a kid, went through, I've talked about this before, the confirmation period where you confirm what you did as a kid when you're sprinkled or whatever. You don't know any different. You know, I didn't know any different. We might have studied some passages out of the Bible, but there was a creed book. There was a kind of like a Catholics have a catechism. But what we need to really do is, if we're listening to somebody, we need to follow along, listen to it. And if that goes against God's word, hey man, we need to hold up our hand and say, hey, that's not kosher with what God is saying. But I think we need to read, study, and then we also need to obey. I look at that as John 15:10 of, it's an obedience. You know, if you keep my Father's commands, yes, it's a thing of we have to do something, we have to keep it. But I think throughout the book, the Bible, the good book, is God is trying to make us obedient. That's all he wants. We're not mindless robots where we're like, yeah, yep, I'll serve God because God said so. It's, let's go search those things. And we have it all here in the Bible. You know, we just have to, like you said, recognize the false teaching. And I think we hold those false teachings up to the Bible and we say, listen, this is wrong. You have some things right, maybe. Like sometimes in those creed books, they'll pull out Bible verses, but they put them all together. You know, I can remember going through Lutheran service and I knew the whole service before it even started because you know how it goes. But that's the whole thing, is we need to read, study, and then obey. That's some of the main things.
Yeah, you know, definitely it's, if we're ever going to know the truth and truly desire to follow it, we're going to have to recognize, be able to recognize what truth is and what it is not, and then also be able to make those changes. And I think sometimes when the struggles as well, if not many times, is that, you know, when someone begins to look a little bit more deeply at the denomination which they are a part of, emotion begins to come into play. You know, it's we kind of, if we're not careful, can allow ourselves to say, well, I've always been here, I'm not changing now. Or, you know, my parents attended here for so long, all my family and friends attend here, which, you know, all those things, of course, are things that can make it very difficult. But that doesn't change what the Bible says. You know, the Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was a beacon of light to a lot of people, because he would go out and he would persecute those who were followers of Christ, because he did not believe at that point that Christ was the Son of God. And so he would actually cause havoc against the church, as the book of Acts points out. And so when he was converted, all those people who had been his acquaintances actually became his enemies. You know, even Jeremiah, back in Jeremiah chapter 20, around verse 9 and following, he talks about how his acquaintances watched for his stumbling, and so all his friends had turned against him. But did that stop Jeremiah? Well, no. He continued to follow after the word of God. Did it stop the Apostle Paul? Well, no, it didn't. And no doubt many others, you know, the apostles, you know, when they became, or the disciples were called, you know, they did have to leave behind other people who maybe didn't agree with them. Well, yeah. Were some of them their friends? I think absolutely. I mean, you think about, to me, one of the greatest examples and probably one of the most painful ones is the time of the flood back with Noah. I think it's a false idea to assume that Noah, when people died during that flood, that there was no one else that Noah knew. I think when that flood waters came and the ark was closed, Noah had friends who were going to die in that flood. Did that stop him from obeying God? No, he still got on the ark. He still built it. And so when we think about The denominational world and the false teaching, it's there. Yes, we may have friends. Yes, we may have family. I have family and friends or members of denominations, but that's not the reason I'm going to stay, or that's not a good enough reason for me to stay. It doesn't mean we cannot be friends with them. It does not mean we cannot spend time with them, but we cannot follow blindly false teaching, and simply because of our family and friends who are still a part of that. And so we have to make a decision at some point. If you look at 1 John chapter 2, looking at verses 3 and following, he says, "Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments." And so we have to ask ourselves the questions. Do we want to know him? That is, do we want to follow Christ? Or do we want to just keep following blindly these false ideas? And Ron is over here testing my patience today. But if you look at 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." And so we have to remember, if we're going to say that we're going to follow after the truth, then we have to be those who are actually willing to recognize that maybe what we're following currently is not the truth. Okay, I'm going to stop for just a moment and let Brother Matt add anything he'd like.
Oh, man, I love you, Ron.
And yeah, I'm going to put Ron away here.
Yeah, it's talking about, you know, it says, "He who knows him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected himself also to walk just as he walked." It's a sign of obedience there. It's a sign of knowing how to get away from those things. That's the whole point. And that's some of the things. That's how do we escape the spiritual deep? We study, we test, you know, and we have that blessed assurance. So I think when we seek out and follow the church of the Bible and encourage others to do the same, that's a big thing of following what the church says, or the Bible says about the church, is a big step too of keeping God's commandments. God says this, so I need to do this. You know, God doesn't agree with that, so I don't agree with it. That's the mindset that we need to get into, is we need to make Bible number one. And that's the thing. So,
yeah. And, you know, as you say that here, that just leads us right back to 1 John 2 and verse 6. The Bible says, "He who says he abides in him," that is a person who says basically they're a Christian. That's how we would word that today. He says, "ought himself also to walk just as he walked." Now, those are very big words. And what he's talking about there is we're going to say we're a Christian and we need to live like Christ would have us to live. And that includes following his commandments. And so we cannot logically say, that people do all the time, that we are a Christian and then not follow God's word. Because to say you're a Christian and follow after denominational teaching or any teaching that is in disagreement with God's word is a false idea. In fact, in verse 4, it tells us that we are a liar. If we say that we know him and do not keep his commandments, he says the person who does such is a liar and the truth is not in him, 1 John 2 and verse 4. And so we have to make some very, you know, honest decisions and some very honest observations. You know, speaking from personal experience, I remember during the time period that, you know, I was studying and on the eve, so to speak, of being converted, you know, I went back and forth many times with, well, you know, this is what we've done. I don't see, you know, what's wrong with this. And I think about what we discussed. And I think, well, that's not what the Bible says, though. The Bible doesn't say that. So how can I keep on doing this, you know? And having family members and still do who are members of the denomination, who no doubt I love very dearly, that doesn't change. But we have to make a decision at some point and ask ourselves honestly and very seriously, what is most important? Is it doing what we've always done, or is it getting to heaven? Now, go ahead.
Sorry, it's kind of like, how can I justify what I'm doing here when it says in the Bible that I shouldn't do that? There's no justification. It's kind of like when we're in the denominational world, which we both have been, you look back and as you study and you grow in your faith, you're going, wow, I was totally in the wrong doing this certain thing. Or, you know, just like for me, it was infant baptism, and then there was confirmation confirming all that, and just different beliefs that I talked. We all have denominational friends. Like I have a friend who's a Lutheran. Right, and he's really deep in his faith, and we discuss and talk, and You know, he just, and we discuss these things, and that's the whole purpose of it, is to sit and discuss. Do we yell at each other and scream and yell, oh, you're going to hell, you're not, you know? And no, it's a discussion, and that's what we need to do, is we need to have those open discussions with people about, hey, we need to follow the word. You know, that is our standard. Not some man's creed, not some other man's this, or Martin Luther's this, or, you know, anything like that. So I just had to throw that out there.
Yeah, you know, definitely. It's we have to make tough decisions and decide, you know, basically where our true loyalty lies. And so that's definitely a big part of coming out of any false teaching. And, you know, some final things for us to think about here as I hit my mic is thinking about, you know, how do we recognize spiritual deeds? Well, we've really already talked about that. We look at what we've been taught and we compare it to the Bible. And if it's not accurate, then we recognize that we are in that spiritual deep of denominationalism or just false teaching in general. You know, we recognize that we talked about before, apostasy being a spiritual deep. Well, if we see what the Bible says and see how we're living and it's not in agreement with God's word, that's how we recognize where we are. And really what I want to focus on here for the last few minutes we have here is how do we avoid these spiritual deeps? And which really goes back to what we've been talking about, like what Matt was saying a few moments ago, and that's knowing our Bible. If you go back to Acts chapter 17 and looking at verse 11, Paul is speaking about those in Thessalonica. He makes a comparison here. He says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Now, he's talking about those who were the noble Bereans from back in verse 10. And so he says they were fair-minded and more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. And he tells us why, because they received the word with all readiness, which means they're willing to listen. Willing to listen, that's the first thing. You know, that's the whole reason why the first step for man's salvation is to hear. We hear it sometimes, but we don't always listen. But they received it, which indicates they accepted what was being taught. And then they also, the Bible says that they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so, which tells us they were literally Bible students. And I say sometimes we need to be students of the Bible, and sometimes our mind rushes to the idea that, oh, he's talking about preaching students or, you know, or college Bible students. That's not the case at all. These individuals here in Acts 17, verse 11, they weren't in any type of school, but were they students of God's word? Absolutely. Why? Because they studied it all the time. And so that's what we want to be. We want to follow that noble example. And he says here that they were even more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica because they received it, they searched it, and they studied these things on a daily basis here. And one more scripture here, and I'll let Matt add anything you like before we close out this morning. But Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and following here says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, a reference to people of power who are against God. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. And he goes on in verse 14 and following and talks about the different types of the Christian's armor. But we are to, you know, if we're going to have to fight against wickedness and fight against temptation and fight against those who are confused in a religious sense, that is those who maybe are a member of the denomination and they are very confused, the only way we can be prepared by that is being those who know the word of God. He says here in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we do that through knowing the word of God. Going back to Acts 17, verse 11, we can be prepared people. We may not know every single answer the moment it's asked, but I tell people all the time, there's nothing wrong with saying, you know what, I'm not really sure on that, but I can find out the answer for you. And I'll make sure they understand. I'm not going to talk to some pastor. I'm going to go home and I'm going to study it. I'm going to come back with a Bible-based answer, because that's how we find the answers to those things. Okay, I'm going to stop there. Let Brother Matt add anything he'd like before we close out here this morning.
I like that Acts 17:11, and it talks about them as being fair-minded, and they're just people, but they searched it daily. They mm-hmm. searched out the scripture, and any sermon they heard, they're probably, you know, searching it out and saying, hey, and that's what we need to do. every time we hear something, hey, let's just not take somebody's word for it. I mean, I know sometimes we do, and that it's fine, but sometimes that can get us trapped in a little bit of a conundrum type thing of, well, this guy said this. Search the scripture. It doesn't matter. If man says something, go search the scripture and see if it's what you need to be. And then talking about the armor of God is, man, that is a big deal. If you go through the Ephesians 6 and you really study those things, the sword of the spirit, you know, the breastplate and all those, and you pick those out, is God gives us those things to fight the devil, fight the wiles of the devil and all that, you know. And I think that's very important of, you know, we just sometimes think that, you know, well, you know, we got this, or we can do, search the scripture daily, search it and study it. That's how we can recognize and avoid the spiritual beat. We have to be willing to study. That's the whole thing. So kind of like the Bereans, you know, they were just people. They weren't no preachers. They weren't no eldership, or, you know, they were just fair-minded people like we are. Go study. That's definitely a way you can recognize and avoid the spiritual beat.
Definitely. And we do want to stop there today. We do thank everyone for being here with us this morning. We hope you have enjoyed this program. And we hope you join us again next time as we continue looking at the Word of God together. And so hope to see you again next week. We thank you for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting us at bywaymedia.org. You can also find us on several social media platforms now. We hope you enjoyed this program. We hope you will share with others. And as always, we thank you for listening.